was a good song. What was that song called again?
Like, I take a couple uppers, I down a couple downers, but nothing compares
to these
blue and yellow purple
pills. I've been to Mushroom Mountain once or twice, but it's count. That's a tune, man.
It was on the it was on at the gym the other day, and I liked it.
Dude, I had that D12 Devil's Night CD, man.
I did too.
Hardcore shit. I think it was illegally burned for me, but from someone. Remember we used to burn CDs for people?
Oh, yeah. I miss it.
I bought it for like $3 out of someone's backpack in like high school.
Yeah.
Good times. All right. I'm going to start this thing. Here we go. Welcome to Comedians Talking Baseball, our weekly MLB recap podcast, where myself, comedian Joe Kilgallen, and comedian Mike Bryanstein sit back, nerd out on some stats, and just have a good old time with you. Brido, how we doing?
Yeah, we're back.
We are back. We need to apologize. I need to apologize, not you. This is not on Brido. I don't want any of the listeners being upset at Brido.
Hey,
it was Memorial Day weekend. I hope you had a good one. Did you have a good Memorial Day weekend, buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right, good. I played softball with a bunch of comedians, and it was too hot out, and I acted like a real dick. So I need to apologize to a lot of people there.
Oh,
I threw a bat.
I saw your Facebook post.
Yeah, man, I threw a bat. I threw a thing of sunscreen. I got a little upset, mostly at myself. I played terribly. I played great defensively, man. I was like Anthony Rizzo at first base, or Goldschmidt. Who's the best defensive first baseman in baseball? I was that guy.
Give me 5-4-3 Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, I could see him that because he was a third baseman, second baseman, first baseman. Sure, if you play a mean third base, you should play a great first base. Correct?
Fair, oh yeah, I guess. Yeah, George Brett, donkey. I got George Brett, your favorite hitter, into the show finally.
There you go. Oh, let's give some thanks to some of the great listeners we've had. Donkey, our man Dylan. Kevin Ulster. Who else? My man Tom Puppet. I think he still checks it out. Someone tweeted at me the other day that they liked it. I don't know. All you guys for listening, thank you so much. I'm out of it. I had an 8-hour drive from Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh. Went to a wedding over the weekend. It was a great time, but drove all 8 hours today by myself. And my wife was there, but she slept in the car because I'm a good dude. You know what they say? Happy sleeping wife, happy life.
Do you think if you would have made it to the major leagues, made it into the show, how many complete throw shit onto the field meltdowns would you have had by now?
I would have made Carlos Zambrano look like a fucking altar boy.
Didn't you flip a table over at your wedding or something?
I did. That's right, listeners. I flipped a table at my own wedding. Here's the thing, though. I kind of pushed it. The table, you push it so when it ends up on the other side, it's like, dude, you flipped that. When really it was just like a shove. And it was a table that had nothing on it. It wasn't a full-sized. It wasn't like a table that people ate at. I got to be clear on that. It wasn't a table set for nine. It was like a round table that was about waist high, that was way off past like where we had this photo booth thing. And I got annoyed because I had, with the DJ, the wedding I was, I had a band over last night. And I'm almost thinking a band would have been a better move. But I had a great time. I normally like a DJ better because you get a wider a range of music. Anyhow, I had a must playlist and a do not playlist. Like, do not play these songs. It was the second song I heard off the do not playlist. I'm like, why is this song on? This is on the do not playlist. And then someone's like, yeah, didn't you have a bunch of songs you had to hear? I'm like, yeah, and I haven't heard maybe half the list. And so I got annoyed and I kind of like pushed a table over that was near me because I was trying to calm down from not going over to the DJ and telling him that your whole industry is bullshit and you should all be replaced by iPods. You know what I mean?
I worked at a country club in high school, and I worked a lot of weddings, and I've seen worse. I've seen the guy who paid the DJ almost fight the DJ, Geneva Golf and Country Club in Muscatine, Iowa.
Yeah, I believe that, man. These DJs rile people up. You know why? Because DJs try to pretend like they're artists. Look, if you're a DJ like Calvin Harris and you're creating the beats, sure, you're an artist. But if you're a DJ who's just like, oh, this next one goes out to, you know, Bill and Jill. Bill and Jill. I bet their celebrity couple name is Bill or Jill. Like, you know, something stupid like that, right? And then you play a song that, you know, some other artist created, obviously. you're not an artist, dude. You're a dude with some good sounds, like a good sound system. You got a turntable or two, and you got good speakers.
Yeah.
And a hell of a playlist.
Being a DJ means that you own speakers, correct?
Correct. And you have no problem lugging it up and down flights of stairs if need be.
I think that's all it is. Because I have been a neighbor with DJs before, and it's just bringing giant speakers into places.
Essentially. And the thing is, I've heard other people tell me, like, they get kind of like sensitive when you ask them to play stuff and do not play stuff. Which I remember when we met with the guy, I said, look, I don't know if this is your thing where you're like, no, I get free reign, then I'm not going to go with you. No offense to you, but I have certain songs I don't want to hear. For example, our White Sox listener Dylan might appreciate this. Maybe my buddy Herb Lawrence too. I've got a lot of friends who are White Sox fans. Not a lot, but a good amount, a handful or so, a dozen. I don't know, Baker's dozen. And when they won the World Series in 2005, their anthem was Journey's "Don't Stop Believing."
Yeah.
Which I know why. I guess like Pruszynski and Creedy and Rowan sang at karaoke somewhere and it just kind of took over. But to me, it was always funny because it's a song in which one of the lyrics is born and raised in South Detroit, which, you know, there's nothing to do with the South Side of Chicago. It's nothing to do with Chicago. It's, I don't know why they made it a White Sox song, whatever, fine.
Because the chorus, Joe.
Yeah, "Don't Stop Believing." I know, which was funny because the year before, the Cubs had these Believe bracelets, these blue Believe bracelets. They were for charity, I think. And every Sox fan who made fun of them, oh, Believe, Cubbies, Believe. And then their anthem a year later is "Don't Stop Believing." Anyway, whatever. I ended up hating that song for a lot of reasons. And I knew, I'm like, if I don't put this on the Do Not playlist, one of my friends who's a Sox fan will be like, DJ, here's $20, play this. I'm very thankful that song did not appear. But that was a good reason why I needed to have a Do Not playlist. There were several songs I did not want to hear.
You know who else is thankful? The guy who set down the tables.
The thing is, only about a handful of people really saw it. Me flip the table. But it was enough. Comedians saw it, and right away they went to Twitter. Our boy Brendan McGowan, I'm pretty sure, tweeted out the picture of it.
Listen, at my wedding reception, John Ledley, 80s clown, punched Mike Burns in the face.
Like, for real punched him?
Well, no. He was so drunk that it was kind of like if a baby punched you.
Oh, I gotcha. Like a little tap.
But by the next day, it had turned into like Mike Tyson's punch out.
I love the way people exaggerate, you know? I had that too. I pushed a guy down one stair. And everyone's like, you went down a flight of stairs. I'm like, that was one step. If there was a flight, you think I would have done that? Also, if there's a flight of stairs behind you, don't talk shit. That's just a good rule for life in general, you know?
Didn't you one time hang Vanilla Ice out of a window so you could have the rights to his music?
Mike, I can't. That's a lawsuit that's still pending. I'm not allowed to talk about such events that may or may not have happened. All right, let's get into some baseball right now, man. You texted me a pic. You've got a new book. A book giving you a baseball boner. Give us a little preview of that book, my friend.
Oh, I bought a book by someone that is not me. It's by Jay Jaffe, and it's called The Cooperstown Casebook, because I am a giant stat nerd, and essentially every year, all these writers, like Peter Gammons, the Peter Gammons crew, you know?
Yeah.
They want to put in all this time and effort into voting for the Hall of Fame, and I guess the guy who's considered the number one expert on candidacy of Hall of Fame candidates, either current or who's been overlooked, is Jay Jaffe, who invented the JAWS system that we have talked a lot about on the show. And even he would say it's not perfect, but he starts kind of in on it. I've only put a dent into it, but he kind of talks about how the process of the Hall of Fame, like when it started, how many stats were available. It's mind-boggling that they just, no one had stats until like the Baseball Encyclopedia in like, I almost want to say like the 70s.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, did you know that when like, he starts talking about when Babe Ruth was on the cover of, like, different sports annual magazines, because baseball was huge, and he would be on the cover. No one ever talked about his home run total. It wasn't a thing that people talked about. It's crazy. In 1919, they talked about how many stolen bases he had. Not one mention that he was revolutionizing baseball with this thing, the home run. They just didn't keep track of it, which blew my fucking mind.
Wait, so there's a good chance that his home run totals might not be correct then? Is that what you're saying?
No, they can go back and look at scorecards. And that's,
oh, okay. All right, that's good.
When
there, they
told the public what he did, they said batting average, like, on the back of his baseball card, like, your son is going to be like, they didn't put war on the back of cards. You're going to be like, we didn't know what the fuck that was. Or however you talk to your son.
That sounds about correct about how I talk to him. yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I was going through some old baseball cards. I actually, on our Instagram page, everyone, you can follow Comedians Talking Baseball on Instagram. I posted a picture of one of my favorite baseball names of all time, Oil Can Boyd.
Yeah.
And I was looking through some old cards, and the Topps 1990, which would have been the 40-year anniversary, I believe, of Topps, because they were like special cards for like the time, I guess.
Right.
They didn't have on base percentage on the back of the card. They did have slugging percentage, though.
Yeah, slugging percentage has, I think, yeah, that's been around as long as I can remember on the back of a card. Topps was always good at having a bunch of different stats. But like in every baseball almanac until like the 70s or even the 80s, they only had win-loss record for pitchers. And
yeah, that was all people cared about.
Yeah, win-loss record and batting average. Like, the fact that people... Babe Ruth invented the home run so much that if someone's like, dude, he hit 19 home runs last year, whatever the fuck he did that year that blew everybody out of the water, and then he hit 59, right? Someone's like,
yeah, it was an insane jump.
If someone's like, he hit 59 home runs and the next highest team was like 57 total for the year, an average fan might have been like, what's a home run? If you lived in a town that didn't have baseball, you weren't necessarily, and you didn't own a radio, like, when baseball was huge. Your information that you got was that, like, the whatever they said in the newspaper. You didn't even know what the guy looked like, necessarily.
That's very true. I was watching the movie Eight Men Out, which is all about the Chicago Black Sox scandals. It was called in 1919, where the White Sox through the World Series against the Cincinnati Reds. And they were cutting to a scene where like the big rich mob guy who was like financing the players throwing it and all that stuff.
Oh, Harold Rothstein or whatever.
Rothstein, there we go. They were cutting to him back in his like mansion, and someone was reading the score off like a ticker thing. They had like a ticker going in, and it was like, now up to bat. Like, you know, they're like reading it off. Like, it was crazy. It wasn't even on radio.
Yeah, that's how Ronald Reagan announced Cubs games.
Yeah, that's right. He wouldn't even be there live. He was just reading off the thing that people were sending in.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
And then he became the president, I think.
Yeah, I think he had a good run there for a little bit. After, what was that movie he was in with him and a monkey? Co-starred a movie with a monkey?
Bedtime for Bonzo?
Bedtime for Bobo. Anyway, I was also with that Eight Men Out movie. I remember I was curious, so I looked at the World Series box score. Back then, the World Series was a best of nine. Just crazy.
Not every series, but some were, yes.
Why did they decide which ones were and which one weren't?
Good question. I don't know, but...
We'll look that up. That's homework for next week. But I wanted to say this. I looked it up. There was one home run hit, and it was by Shoeless Joe. Home run was hit in that entire series.
He took money and knew it was happening and didn't say anything. These guys got paid dick, right? And
they really did get dick. And Comiskey, the White Sox owner, was notorious for being a cheapskate.
Right. And so, like, he did hit well in that series and everything. But I think that he admitted that there was two games he, like, let up. He knew it was happening. And he, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was kind of false for him, though, for some reason, because apparently he couldn't read.
Yeah, he signed an X on his name, and he and pitcher Eddie Seacott were well on their way to being Hall of Famers.
Yeah, well, there's the one scene where Eddie goes to see if he could get his bonus. He was supposed to get a bonus if he won 30 games, but he only won 29. But he was like, I earned that because you guys sat me for a month. And they go, we sat you for a month, so you'd be fresh for the World Series. And he goes, okay, well, you know, I missed five starts. I would have won at least two of those guaranteed. Come on. And he didn't give him his bonus. And he had, like, you know, two daughters. So he was just like, you know what? Screw this guy. Let's take the money.
Yeah, I don't, I mean,
you guys, I almost don't blame them in a weird way. But then again, you taint the sport. So then I do blame you. They should have just, there's a lot they could have done right and wrong there. The mobsters ended up screwing them over too by saying, you know what? What are you going to do? Call the cops. We're not paying you shit. And if I were them, I'd be like, all right, well, now we're going to win. And we're gonna tell people to bet the other way. So now we're hedging both sides. What the fuck are you going to do? Call the cops? Like, I would have played it both ways. Dude, I would have been so good. I should have gotten into a battle with the Mafia at some point, if they still exist. Mafia people, if you're still out there.
I mean, you really started stand-up in the wrong era then, because I guess that it used to be run by the mob.
I know. Yeah, they're pretty notorious for that. But so
I believe it.
Well, I'll bring them back. I'll bring it all back. All right, so it's a good book. We got to check that out. You also sent me another article, Hall of Fame related. I know we talk about the Hall of Fame a lot, but it's the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? It's the pinnacle of your sport.
Yeah, and it's the hardest one to get into.
It is. And I have a dream, yeah, because in the NFL, for those of you who aren't familiar, are baseball listeners, but the NFL has a rule that five people must go in every year. In baseball, you could have a whole year where nobody goes in.
Yeah, but that's not good for the sport.
It's not. And usually someone does go in, but, you know, one year it could be three. Like, I remember when it was, what was it? Maddox, Glavine, and Frank Thomas were all one year. And then the next year, I think it was just, I don't know. I can't remember. But I remember a couple of years ago, it was just one player. Sometimes it's three, sometimes it's one, sometimes it's four.
Their year was just Piazza or something.
Yeah, one year I think, yeah, that might be the year I was reaching for.
Just Griffey or something.
Well, remember Griffey, everyone said should have been unanimous, but one person, only one voter made it so he wasn't unanimous. Like, who is that moron?
Well, some of those guys, they do the early return, so they're like, okay, he's already a shoe-in. I want to get some more votes for Edgar Martinez. And so he votes for like 10 different guys because there's like a dumb you can only vote for 10 people rule.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And then there are some people who are just that guy who doesn't believe anybody should be first ballot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, Joe DiMaggio was not first ballot, which is insane.
Yeah, come on. If
you think about it. Everybody in the history of baseball, other than those five first guys, were not first ballot Hall of Famers. So Cy Young, not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Wow. It's stuff like that that really, I think, I mean, obviously the average fan doesn't even know that, but it's stuff that turns you off as a fan, because it's like, why do these guys have control? You know, do you think it should be all players voting? Because then I'm like, I don't know if I want that either.
No, I think that the people should be well informed and have the best information. Like this guy, Jay Jaffe, is saying in that book, like, what were they going off of in 1935 or 36 or whatever year it was? Because, I mean, just their memory of who was good, but it was like Little League. You didn't know what your batting average was or what, I mean.
Maybe, oh, I knew.
I did too.
Oh, I kept track. I remember one year I was like 42 for 51.
They would bust the stats out at the end of the year, like at our pizza party, and they would be like, you hit like this, this, and this. And I was like, no, I didn't.
I remember telling the one kid who was the coach's son. I can't remember his name now. It doesn't matter. But he was like, I hit 4-0 something. And I go, it's because your dad counts fielder's choices like an idiot. At least every time you get, I remember like, dude, you reach base, but the guy at second got thrown out. It's a fielder's choice. It's not a hit. And your dad keeps counting those. There's no way you batted that high. Totally broke his heart. That was a jerk move on my part. But also, don't go running around showing off, kid. Be humble.
Yeah.
Be humble with your fake batting average. But yeah, so that part's interesting to know. Because back then, they're probably just going off of reputation. There's probably some players who, upon further review, weren't that good. But they were likable. They went out for drinks. And that was a big thing with a lot of stuff.
So many guys are in the Hall of Fame because of the Veterans Committee, which was run by this dude, Frankie Frisch, this former player who's in the Hall of Fame, convincing everybody like to put in all of his former teammates. So there's guys in there that are totally not worthy of the Hall of Fame who just this guy Frankie Frisch liked. I'm not kidding. As dumb as that sounds, there's people in the Hall of Fame. I mean, and somebody could say, like, dude, it's just a stupid-looking plaque that no one gives a shit about in this niche sport in the middle of nowhere in a town that isn't even really where they invented baseball and all this shit. But it is important, and it should matter. It's a sport with the best stats, that stats matter and that Hall of Fame matters.
I agree, and now I have a genius idea. One day, maybe it might not be this season. It'd be great if it was. You and I need to do a live Comedians Talking Baseball from Cooperstown.
Dude, I thought about that this week. I thought you would not be into it, but I've been twice, and I'm telling you, if you haven't been, listeners, I don't think you have been, right?
No, I've not. I would love to go.
Can I tell you that you would really enjoy it?
I believe I would. I'd love to go with you. Maybe we'll try to get in the works one day. Maybe come October during the playoffs.
You got to fly to, like, Buffalo.
And then rent a car and drive down?
Yeah.
That's doable. Or maybe you fly into... we rent ourselves a Winnebago. We get a few of the boys. We could get Donkey come. Donkey still live in Iowa?
Donkey does. He lives in Des Moines.
Well, he could drive the 5.5 hours from Des Moines to Chi-Town, where we pick up our boy Dylan. Maybe McGowan and...
yeah.
That's the plan there, right?
Yeah.
We could sleep together, you know, take shits all together and eat and drink.
If you're thinking that this won't work, I hear something. Oh, no. I hear something. Go the distance. Thank you.
Nice. Good Field of Dreams reference. I like that. You also sent me another article this week, which I believe goes in line with your book there, called The Hall of Stats.
Yes, because on the Jaws pitchers list on Baseball Reference, the number one pitcher who's not in the Hall of Fame besides Roger Clemens, Donkey, that's your favorite pitcher. I got all your guys in. Is Jim McCormick, who pitched from 1878 to 1887. And I looked in his book. I was like, let's just cut to the shit right here and figure out what's going on with this Jim McCormick character. And he's not mentioned. And so I tweeted at Jay Jaffe, hey, man, what's going on with this guy? Blah, blah, blah. I started talking about F war and B war. And at the end, I said, by the way, this is by far the nerdiest tweet I've ever sent anybody. And he responded to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he said that it's covered in this thread. And then he sent me to a thread where he defers to this other guy whose name is Adam something Polish. I can't think. I don't want to butcher his name. I just know that. But that guy. Ski. What?
It ends with a ski because it's Polish.
I believe it ends in a vowel of some sort. And okay. He is the Sabre 19th century overlooked baseball players committee for the Hall of Fame or for the Sabre community. And he runs a website called Hall of Stats, because one of the arguments that people always make when they're like, well, this guy had this on base percentage and blah, blah, blah. Some asshole always goes, it's called the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Stats. And he's like, okay. So there's 226 or so players in the Hall of Fame. Let's start with zero and add 226. Just off statistics alone. And he uses Baseball Reference WAR, and he uses WAA, wins above average, which he explains why, and he has this formula, and it gives you 226 players, the same amount that are in the actual Cooperstown Hall of Fame. 70 or so players are out, and 70 new players are in.
That's great. You know what I was shocked with? And I always knew this guy and should have been in the Hall of Fame. Hello?
Yeah, you dropped for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that Burt Blyleven is very high on that, which was shocking to see.
His WAR is bananas. I think that his win-loss record is all that they cared about. But if
he had a great career, but I was like, whoa.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, he wasn't around in the
70s. My bad. Righto?
Say again?
I you dropped on me, man. I'm about to edit this now. Damn, I have to do work. I didn't hear you like the last two lines you said there.
Oh, no, his WAR is, there's a whole chapter on Blylevin in the book, also, which I haven't gotten to yet, but his WAR, his B WAR and his F WAR, Baseball Reference and Fangraphs, are crazy. And, like, it's amazing that no one knew what they were seeing while they saw it because they weren't looking at the right thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, what a bummer. No, totally. And I was also happy because, you know, we had a thing, couple podcasts ago where we were talking about overrated and underrated players, and we had thought that maybe Andre Dawson was overrated, but according to the Hall of Stats, he is not.
That is good.
Yeah, so I was happy to see that because he was up high. He was like, what, number 80 something? I think he was top 100.
Oh, yeah. He's a solid choice.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not top 100, but of the 270 or whatever the number is that's currently in the Hall, they had him kind of middle to like the top half, I want to say.
So he's safe.
He's safe. That's good. Well, you know, you get worried sometimes because we grew up loving that guy. And as much as these stats have shown me that a few players aren't quite as amazing, but then a lot of players are even more amazing. Like I try to tell people, I'm like, look, you're going to be happy with most of what you read about these new statistics. You never want someone that you really love to get taken down a peg or two.
No, I mean,
so I'm glad what he did appreciated Andre Dawson as the five tool player that he was.
He does say in the book, like, if you break the binding on this while you throw it out of the room because of what I say about Sandy Koufax, please like pick up another copy. He's the Jaws system does not work for Sandy Koufax because he had such a specific career where Koufax's last six seasons were amazing, but his first six seasons were horrible.
Yeah, he's like a Jekyll and Hyde type of thing.
Yeah, so
it really was like six like really bad seasons, and then six of maybe you could argue the best six-year period for any, not just pitcher, any player ever.
Right, so even like when they do like their part of Jaws is their peak seven, he didn't have seven good years.
Ah, yeah, that's a good point. You know, I bust your chops about Kershaw, and I don't know why, because I know Kershaw has greatness, but for some reason, I just chose to give you. I don't know why, but I make it seem like in my head, Mike Breinstein goes to sleep at night with a Clayton Kershaw stuffed animal. Like, I have this thing with you where I'm like, he loves Kershaw, so when Kershaw does something bad, I got to give Brido shit.
You know why? Because I think that you love how Christian Kershaw is and that Koufax is Jewish, so you want me to look like a piece of shit.
I want you to be revealed as the anti-Semitic that you are. No, I'm kidding. Brido's not. He loves everybody. But you know what it was? I think I have it where it was when we first started podcasting, it was in the preview of the 2016 season, which was amazing because as Cubs fans, it was like the best season ever.
Right.
And we were recapping the 2015 season, which Jake Arrieta was Cy Young, and you agreed with, but you even were like, you can make a case for Kershaw, and you started being like, Kershaw, Kershaw, Kershaw. So in my head, I'm like, oh man, he loves that Kershaw. So when Kershaw would blow it in a playoff game, I'm like, there's your boy, sucking it when it matters, you know?
I don't want to pass out, I don't want to be a homer with just, you know, all of the awards and stuff like that. I'd prefer to not just give it to Arrieta or give it to Chris Bryant or whoever the top Cub is. Man.
Totally.
So you have me on the fact that Kershaw has not been, he has like a 5 ERA in the postseason, and that is something I can't do anything about. But yeah, like adjusted ERA plus career, number one is Mariano Rivera, who I actually think is super overrated. And then number two is Kershaw, all time.
No, I'm going to do that for fun on a text thread. I think Kershaw is a phenomenal pitcher. But there has been a trend over these last few years of him getting injured. And he had a better playoff run last year, but still had a couple big losses in the mix, I believe. He looked good against the Cubs. I remember him having a shaky World Series start, if I recall. Maybe a second World Series start. Still, though, I mean...
Was that last year or 2016 when he came out of the bullpen? Because then I would go to Dodger Stadium and everybody's wearing, like, Kershaw saves.
It was in 2016 he came out.
Okay.
And because you went to all three of those Cubs-Dodger playoff games.
I did, and then last I went to the Justin Turner walk-off.
Oh, God, that's brutal. I went to the one Cubs win in the playoffs. No, actually, I was 2-0 in the playoffs. I saw them beat the Nationals to take a 2-1 lead. And then I saw them stave off a sweep where Baez hit a home run. Baez hit two home runs, and Wilson Contreras hit a 495-foot bomb off the scoreboard. So that was a fun game to go to.
Well, the year
in the center field sweep.
I mean, you guys went to San Francisco. It was crazy.
In 2016, yeah, I saw me and Brendan McGowan went up to San Francisco. Unfortunately, there was the one loss. Then I saw a game. We saw a win. I think it was game five. Yeah, game five they won. That game I went to, and you went with a bunch of games too. Anyway, though, so Kershaw lost game six to the Cubs. But I always say the way the Cubs looked in that game, it didn't matter who was on the mound, the Cubs were winning that game.
No, and the fans were on top, like chanting like Kershaw at him or Clayton.
It was great. There's a thrill in the air. But here's my case, though, because, you know, we are arguing Kershaw and Koufax and all that, and how Koufax's first 6 years weren't good. What if Kershaw's last 6 years are bad? So then you ask yourself, what would you rather have, a good finish or a good start?
Well, Kershaw is his 11th season, and Koufax only played 12 seasons.
So he's already ahead of him as far as number of good seasons go.
Yes. And Kershaw already has a higher career war.
Well, that's because it's a cumulative stat. What's the war per average, which I'd like to see? But he would have a higher one of those because he's played more seasons, right?
Yeah, you just take their total and divide it by 11 or 12.
Has anyone had a better stretch than Koufax's 6 years, though?
I don't know how to do like a six-year... peak, but
I would love to do that because
Johan Santana had a pretty good 3 years if you want to be like a psycho about it.
I remember him being pretty nuts with that. Let me just wrap this up, and I want to get into present day stuff, of course, because there's a lot of exciting stuff going on in baseball right now.
Johnson
is that
always
all right? I had to double check my phone battery. with Koufax, though, that like I think about innings pitched. Does WAR really give enough love to the fact that these guys were going over 300 innings?
B-WAR does. B-WAR is based on a lot of innings pitched. That's why 19th century pitchers look insane. F-WAR is mostly about FIP.
Yeah, see, I mean, I'm okay with that, which Koufax obviously has help with because, well, he did walk a lot of guys early on.
Fielding independent pitching, sorry.
Yeah. So basically, they just think about pitchers who strike out a lot of batters, walk few, give up a few home runs.
Okay, so if you're not familiar with this shit, and I'm just I forgot I was just talking to Joe. there's the WAR formulas for pitching are different on Baseball Prospectus, Baseball Reference, and Fangraphs. I honestly don't use Baseball Prospectus, so that I'm taking that out of the equation.
I'm cool with that because I don't really use it either. I check Baseball Reference. I like Baseball Reference for a lot of reasons. It's a website. It's a bit easier to compare hitters and all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, it's
Fangraphs is great too. I'm a fan of Fangraphs. They got some good articles on there where I don't really know if Baseball Reference has articles on it the way Fangraphs does. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. But I will have to say I think I might be on Baseball Reference's side here. Obviously, I'm not gonna say some guy who threw 600 innings in 1888 should be talked about with Pedro Martinez. You know, that's crazy. I'm thinking more modern era, 1900 and above. But I do definitely, like, you know, when you look at Koufax's last year, where he had a 1.74 ERA, and the FIP, I think, was still in the twos, and he threw 325 innings. That's insane. Like,
well, right. His arm turned black, and before that season, like, his doctor was like, don't pitch anymore.
Oh, yeah. He had to, I have his biography, and there's a picture of him with his left arm in a whirlpool.
Yeah.
And his arm was, this was after a start, his arm was so swollen, it looked like a thigh. It looked like a man's thigh. That's how like fat it was, where you're like, that's not what? Come on, dude. You know, like he definitely got the most he could in that short period of time. And of course, if he was a pitcher today, they would have limited his pitch count. He would have maybe done 200 innings a year and probably would have pitched another 7 or 8 more seasons. That's my guess if he was around today. But then you think, hey, you know what? Short and sweet. Few Cy Youngs, few rings. Guy hit some rings. He was very clutch.
He had 4 no-hitters?
4 no-hitters in a 5-year period.
Well, right.
Incredible.
Only good for 6 years.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, we think about Nolan Ryan, who had 7 no-hitters, and that's the most all-time. Koufax is second with 4. 7 no-hitters, and his were stretched out.
I mean,
Nolan Ryan's guy pitched in 4. He appeared in 4 decades. Think about that, Nolan Ryan. Was a rookie in 67, retired in 93.
Let me pitch for 24 years. I'll get 7 no hitters with my 70 mile an hour heater.
Well, you're bound to get one these days. I feel like every day I get a notification from my MLB at bat app that says so and so has a no. Oh, they should update that. It should be don't alert me unless it's a no hitter through 7. Stop telling me it's going into the 6 because yeah. And then an inning later, it's, oh, he gave up a double. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, come on, man. I can't be excited about no hitters going into the 6th inning anymore.
I know my dad texted me that there was a Cardinals no hitter today. And then, like, I went to ESPN to look at the scoreboard. And then he texted me immediately that it was over.
Yeah, Waka had one into the 9th. Well, speaking of pitching, though, I was thinking about this. My buddy Herb Lawrence, executive producer on the local radio here, 670 The Score in Chicago. He tweeted out something very interesting and something I'd actually thought about recently. Actually, I thought about the NBA playoffs are going to the NBA finals. I realized the NBA is the only sport where I've never heard of anyone being on PEDs, which can't be the case. There's people in the NBA who are juicing. I think it's a sport that no one just thinks about.
Right.
But it's a thing. You know what I mean? Ooh, I'm getting scrappy in the game. I got the NBA finals on in the background right now. Sorry about that. Anyway. Justin Verlander, at the age of 35, is having his best season by far as of right now. Since he joined the Astros, there's some talks. Is Trevor Bauer correct? Trevor Bauer earlier this year accused the Astros of being a little fishy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Verlander has been great. And all in this decade. So it's not like it's 10 years from now and he's awesome. He won MVP in 2011. It's 2018. He's still.
That's true. That's very, look, no disagreement here, but 2011, we know, is 7 years ago. And he even said after 2014, he thought maybe his career would be done. And here we are in 2018, 4 years after he thought that. And it really is looking like this crazy resurrection. The thing with him, though, is he really never lost too much on the fastball. But I don't know. It's something to look into. The fact that he's having his best year ever. Gerrit Cole, who was always really good with the Pirates, but definitely has taken it up a notch. Charlie Morton is throwing 4 miles an hour faster than he ever did with his previous team. There's something stinks. Something stinks bad.
Isn't Verlander's spin rate like the thing that?
Yes, his spin rate is way up. So maybe the Astros are just way ahead on that. They know how to teach pitchers something that the rest of the league isn't there yet. But it's definitely it's something, man.
Also,
I don't know.
I mean,
these guys were getting second primes. Last guy who got a second prime that late in his career, his name was Barry Bonds.
Okay,
Bonds never truly dipped, but all of a sudden at the age of 37, he's putting up his highs. You know,
hitting is different than it was in 2015 or whatever the fuck year you thought he was done. So, like, you just said that all these guys are getting close to no hitters, and we always talk about like the launch angle shit and how no one hits singles anymore. So,
yeah, that's true.
Maybe a guy who can exploit that is going to have a career year when some guys who never knew how to pitch in the first place are not. Trevor Bauer, Mr. Drone Finger. Is having a good year. Fine. He's never going to be Justin Verlander. Period. At age anything.
I agree with you there. And you know what? You make a good point too. It's become a pitcher's league. Although home runs are up, but overall offense, I don't feel like is up. And sometimes when a pitcher gets older, we forget this. They get smarter. Guys like John Smoltz, Greg Maddux, Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, Tom Glavine, Andy Pettit. These are dudes who well, Andy Pettit's a bad example. He was on PEDs and so was Clemens. But there still are other pitchers along the line who just, you get smarter. You tend to realize, okay, I'm smarter than the hitter. Also, I'm not going to throw him what he wants. I'm going to throw him this little junk ball, and I'm going to get myself out of this inning a little quicker. Stuff like that.
Also, ball on the corner. Guess who they're going to give the benefit of the doubt to? Greg Maddux. Justin Verlander.
Sure. Yeah, obviously some rookie pitcher is not going to get that love, or some hitter that no one really knows. If you're a hitter that strikes out a lot, you know, like I love Javi Baez. We talk about how exciting he is, and he stole home plate today. He's not going to get a borderline call because he doesn't walk ever.
Right.
So, yeah, I get that.
There's an old story about Rogers Hornsby, a pitcher complaining about balls and strikes, and the umpire just said to the pitcher, "Hey, kid, Mr. Hornsby will tell you when it's a strike."
Huh. I like that. I like that a lot. All right, well, let's talk about a little bit what's going on in the week of baseball, and then we could finish up for you guys. And again, I meant to mention this earlier.
Hottest team in the majors.
That's right, baby. But I didn't finish my apology. We took Memorial Day week off. So sorry, everyone, for missing you last week. And I was going to, that's why I said don't blame Brido. In replace of that, I was going to do like a best of the podcast so far. And I was going to start putting some clips together. And then I just didn't have space on my computer. And I had some family stuff. You know, it's a holiday weekend. I apologize. No excuse. Well, we'll make it up to you. Maybe we'll do a second podcast like midweek, maybe All-Star week. We'll do our typical release on a Monday, and then we'll release like a bonus one that week to preview the second half or something fun like that. We've really become a baseball podcast talking about the history of baseball, which started as an accident because the first month of the season, I never like to dig too deep into things because it's the first month and fans just have too much of a knee-jerk reaction, you know? So we were on purpose avoiding being like, here's a good example. The Mets started the season 11-1. Imagine if we were wasting our breath going, the Mets, the mighty Mets are back. It's the amazing Mets. This is going to be like, you know, 69 and 86 all over again. And here, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then now they're 3 games under 500, I believe.
Yeah.
They're a banged up team. And it really goes to show you at the same time, the Mets were building around pitching and they still have some studs. DeGrom still looks great. Thor just landed on the DL. But at the same time, they're building around pitching. The Cubs were building around hitting. And I think we all know building around hitting is probably the smarter move long term.
Matt Harvey started the season with probably the best start the best opening game that anybody had in that opening week. And people had to talk about how good Matt Harvey was going to be for the Mets.
And now he's not on the team.
It's just now June.
Yeah, so now that it's June, though, I do like to talk about some of the surprise stuff because you're starting to get a bigger sample size. We're figuring out what's what. I just don't like the overreactions. But because of that, I kind of like where we went as a podcast, where we started talking about the history of the sport more and digging into some crazy stories that people may not realize, some fun facts and some underappreciated players throughout history too, and just how insane Babe Ruth is. I feel like you could talk about Babe Ruth every week and still not have enough things of Babe Ruth to talk about.
Right.
Enough of his crazy milestones. But anyway, interesting thing. Yeah, the Cubs are the hottest team in baseball. Touch on that for a second. But I wanted to mention this. I just saw this before the podcast started. If you're listening to this, this is Monday. We record Sunday nights. The Philadelphia Phillies got swept by the San Francisco Giants, in which in the three-game series, they scored one run in the three games. And that one run was a home run by pitcher Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
And he said after the series, he basically called out the team and said that was, you see, it's some expletives. Describe their play. Basically, we played like shit. Yeah. And he's not happy. And Gabe Kapler is probably on the hot seat, even though the Phillies are in a competitive. The Phillies are probably like a game out of a second wild card. They're right there.
Three games. But
there's three games?
Yeah, out of the East.
Out of the East. Yeah, so they're right there. But I feel like every time something like this happens, they're focusing on Gabe Kapler. He's bad at shifting. He doesn't know how to manage a bullpen. The lineups are a little questionable. Like, and so when it gets to that type of point, especially the Phillies were thought of, this was still supposed to be a rebuilding year, even though they spent some money. This was supposed to be like their transition year where it's like, we're going to flirt with that wild card, but next year we really think we're going to be special. Kapler is doing stuff like this, why not pull the ripcord a little early?
Well, I think that...
Am I being too harsh?
People just want to hate...
Are you going to call me anti-Semitic right now because I'm being harsh on Gabe?
Oh, is he? Oh, he's a Semite.
Yes, he is a Semite. I believe so. Gabe Kapler? Come on.
Hey, and one of my favorite listeners is too.
Oh, we're not knocking Jewish people. We love them very much. We work in comedy. Of course we love Jewish people. They sign all our paychecks.
That was out of love. We got in Arnold Rothstein into this pod too.
We did, man. Yeah, so the Phillies are definitely, I don't know. I'm just trying to think what managers are maybe on the hot seat, even though it's very early in the year. The Reds already fired their manager early on. The Reds have a couple of fun players, but they're not a good team, and they're far away from being one. You look at the NL Central, the Cubs are now 2 games out of first and the hottest team in the league right now, 10 games over 500, and they look like they're starting to click because they can kind of look like it's looking a lot better. John Lester is going to be in the side conversation if he keeps this up. And the bullpen has been fantastic. And now I feel like the offense has really stepped up. They are now first in on base percentage in the National League, first in batting average, first in runs scored. As far as run differential goes, which you and I are both a big fan of, because it basically tells you how good a team is and where you should be. They are second to the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros are now tied with the Mariners in the West. They're scuffling a little bit.
Astros are a half game out, according to current ESPN.
Oh, how about that? See, I didn't even notice that. I didn't get that update yet, but are the Mariners for real? Are they going to hang around? Are they going to compete?
Honest answer, no. I really wanted the Angels to come out of that division, but they're 5.5 back now. God, man, you don't understand, like, living here and being a baseball fan, how much I want people to care about Trout, and it's just not going to happen until they're good.
All right, here's a long-term bet or a long-term prediction or whatever. Mike Trout, what are the odds? It'd be fun to do like an odds thing for this because you'd have to for any kind of real bet to take place. What are the odds he finishes his career as an Angel?
Oh, good question. When is he a free agent?
I think like 2022. Because he signed a big extension for like, you know, a nice chunk of change.
What did the Milwaukee Bucks get for
I think it'd be like that kind of. I mean, I remember there was rumors during the 2016 season that Trout could be available, and people were like, "If you're a Cub fan, do you trade Addison Russell, Kyle Schwarber?" I'm like, "Yes," and then they're like, "Well, hold on, I'm not done." Yes, whatever the answer is, that's yes. Anyone but Chris Bryant, because you want Bryant with Trout.
I mean,
obviously, you don't trade your whole team, of course. I'm obviously being. I'm exaggerating for comedic effect here, but he is phenomenal. Yeah. We want him to be a household name so badly. I still want to do all sorts of campaign videos for the man. But yeah, if he doesn't get into the playoffs, it's like we want him in October just so he could be in those damn commercials.
Yeah, I wish that. But then again, like. You know how big Joey Votto would be if he played for the Yankees or the Red Sox?
That's true also. There's the thing, though. I feel like the Angels are just, even though they're not in a small market, they're treated as such because they're overshadowed by the Dodgers. And Southern California being the way it is, it's like, oh, that's just another thing way out there, off the highway. When we go to Disney, we see it, I think. And, you know, they're just, I don't know, they're not a sexy franchise. You know, they've won, one World Series back in 2002?
Rally Monkey.
The Rally Monkey was fun. They had the Rally Monkey and the Thundersticks. I remember them actually being fun. And I've got family who are big Angels fans. And they've had some really fun players over the years. And so it's a shame. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying it's a shame that they're not a bigger franchise. I really wish they were. Especially with some of the, you know, with Shohei Ohtani, who's super exciting to watch. And you have Mike Trout. It's just like, how was it guys like Ernie Banks, who were never in a playoff or never in a World Series, became household names, but we can't get Mike Trout there. You know what I mean? There's been players who played in small markets that are bigger names, but we can't.
Do you know that?
Go ahead.
Do you know Andrelton Simmons is sixth in the majors in WAR?
He's the best defensive infielder in baseball, right? Kind of by a good amount.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. He is something else. I've noticed. I watched one of their games, and
well, I mean, Lindor is.
Well, Lindor. Good. Look, there's a lot of great shortstops in baseball right now. Crawford's a great defensive shortstop.
Jose.
Yeah. the Cubs do owe their good defensive shortstops too. I mean, there's a lot of players that are up there. And but with Simmons, I caught one of their games like an MLB Network a week or so ago, and he made a play that was so good. The announcer didn't, it was their announcer, so maybe it was on Fox Sports. I get like like FS1, sometimes I'll get like a West Coast game because they're on Fox Sports a lot. I'm pretty sure. I can't remember now. Doesn't matter. Anyway, but it was such a great play. The announcer didn't even react to it because I think he's so used to Simmons just doing that. And it was a play where he made it look easy and routine when it very much was not easy and routine. You know, like his range is so much. Remember, I think we talked about this before, where Andrew Jones was catching balls Tim Edmonds was diving for. Well, not to take away from Edmonds, because Edmonds should be in the Hall of Fame. He's a great player.
How many times have we seen Almora Jr. make some stupid catch?
Yeah. By the way, you see what his WAR is at these days?
Is it good?
Very good. He doesn't qualify, though. He has the highest WAR for people who don't qualify.
Is that
right?
Yeah,
he's 1.5.
Wow. That would put him top 35 in the major.
He is playing phenomenal defense. He's hitting the ball great. And he's a fantastic base runner. It's at a point where the Chicago Cubs, it's like, listen, I almost wonder if depth could be overrated in that sense. I know every team wants depth, but I think depth is good where if a player gets injured, like Yu Darvish is down for the Cubs. He wasn't doing anything anyway, but Mike Montgomery has slid into that role and looked phenomenal. I mean, it's only two starts, but he's looked great in both of them.
I was wondering if you were going to mention his two starts.
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to just act like he's... it's two games, but the two games is look great, but that's important to a team. I'm obviously not saying Mike Montgomery's an all-star, but if you could have a guy out of your bullpen and make a couple spot starts and pitch as well as Montgomery has, that's very valuable to a team. But
sure,
I definitely think sometimes, like the Cubs last year had this, the year before Schwarber was out for the whole year, so it kind of worked itself out. But last year I thought this was a problem where they didn't have enough at bats for everybody. So therefore players weren't as fresh as they could be, because baseball is a sport where you need to play every day. It's very difficult to hit 96, 97 mile an hour fastballs, you know, and crazy breaking stuff. So you kind of need to see that all the time. If you're, you know, starting two games and you're off a couple games and you're starting a game, then you're off a game and you're starting a few games. And yeah, I think it's just this kind of yo-yo effect with some of these guys that where they're not
weird. Schwarber as the example of that, considering what he did in the 2016 playoffs.
Well, he missed the whole season, though. You know what I mean? So he's obviously he's a gamer, though. I hate to sound cliched, you know what I mean? But there are certain people, and I notice the guys in baseball who are like this are usually baseball players who have football player backgrounds, where they play with that football intensity. I remember noticing that about Schwarber in that one game playoff in 2015 when the Cubs beat the Pirates to advance to the NLDS against the Cardinals. He hit that two-run bomb that went into the Allegheny River. And when he stepped on home plate, he like gave Dexter Fowler, who was along for the ride, like a double high five. And you could tell he was like, fuck yeah, let's go, baby. And he's all jacked up. And obviously, they're not all – I mean, Contreras is like that. Javi Baez are like that. And they're not from football backgrounds. But I notice a lot of the American players that have that knack for coming through in a big moment, they have that football player intensity. So I think he almost kind of like loves that. Like, you know, he's always been good in the playoffs. Even last year, which was a down year for him, I think he had a solid. I remember him, he hit a homer off of Darvish in that NLCS. But there, so I mean, Schwarber's like the outlier. I definitely think, though, when you have 10 guys who could be everyday players and you're shuffling four of them, it might not be the best for those four guys.
Right. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching with that, but sometimes I think to myself,
or some of these guys could wish that they had a break. You know,
yeah, some of these guys are probably because look, you have some guys who are true bench players. Tommy La Stella is a true bench player. David Ross on the Cubs when he was is a bench player, a guy who comes off the bench, knows his role and is happy in his role and can you know contribute. I'm glad, you know, a lot of teams you need guys like that, but the Cubs are so much young talent that okay, these guys deserve to be here. Oh my God, I shouldn't interrupt to talk basketball, but Steph Curry just did like a fucking turnaround fadeaway three from like 6 feet behind the arc and nothing but net. Anyway, that guy could shoot the damn lights out. So
I just read we're chanting MVP at JR.
They were. That's pretty hilarious. I like a good razzing like that. But you know what I mean? So sometimes I worry, like, does this really help in these guys? I mean, obviously I don't think Ian has to go down to AAA because the guy's definitely contributing at the major league level. But I almost wonder, like, I don't know. I almost wonder if something needs to give eventually. I think next year is the year where it's like, you just got to give him more center field. Let him play every day in center field. And then you could have a John Jay as your bench. John Jay, good example. Fourth outfielder. Knows his role as a fourth outfielder. He'll give you 350 to 400 at-bats, and you'll be happy with those at-bats, and he'll play solid defense in all three positions. That's a good depth piece. But your depth piece being Victor Carantini as your backup catcher, a guy who's 24 and was hitting 340 in AAA, but now only starts once a week, I don't think that's good. I think Carantini, I'm glad they sent him back down to AAA. I think that's more beneficial to him to get the at-bats down there instead of just watching Wilson Contreras also, 5 times a week.
It also pisses guys off.
It does.
Look at Montero.
Oh, yeah, he became a complete dick. He went from being we are good to being like, I am good. Why the fuck aren't I playing?
Right.
He started that hashtag, we are good, sports fans. If you don't know, the Cubs had that as their, like, hashtag. It's funny to me, sports teams are getting hashtags now. You notice that? Every team's doing, they got their own little thing. You gotta be part of that world now, you know?
Well, the Phillies, back when the Phillies were the shit in the, what, like 10 years ago? I think it was, why not us?
I don't even like that one at all. That's like sappy. That's like a sad sack. Like, why not me? I'm pretty good. I'll treat you right. Why won't you go on a date with me? Huh? That's
why not? Why not us?
Yeah, why not us? We could
be us, but you playing?
Yeah, fucking hilarious. All right, what else happened in the week that was in Major League Baseball? Danny Farquhar has a nice, or Farquhar, I keep screwing up his name. The guy who almost died of a brain aneurysm. I'm butchering this. I'm trying to be like sentimental and sweet here.
Hey, we talk about Babe Ruth every week. We talk about Mike Trout every week. And every week, Joe destroys a man's name.
Every week. I am consistent. That is for damn sure. You cannot deny that. Oh, that absolutely was traveling. Anyway, what were you saying, my friend? I'm getting loopy because I'm so damn tired right now. Yeah, I just talked about playing basketball. I'm just so tired right now. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm trailing off on you right now. I did want to...
Your base pitch count is up for you,
My pitch count's very high. So we're about an hour right now, so we can just wrap it up. We had some fun conversation for you. I'm sorry. I'm just so tired and loopy. But next week, you and I are going to, because we're going to look at the trade market and make some predictions on what teams are going to make some trades to help seal the deal. Now, obviously, trades don't really typically happen in mid-June, but the market starts to shape itself. So we'll look for that.
And just a spoiler for the listeners, the name Manny Machado, you might hear.
Yeah, spoiler alert. He's going to be mentioned. You're going to hear that name a few times. Damn, he's having a great year, huh?
Yeah, maybe you might hear Josh Donaldson's name.
Yeah, he's got to stay in the American League, though. It doesn't sound like he could play third base anymore.
Dead arm?
Yeah, Scott Hatterberg.
The Cubs could get him to replace Darvish.
Yeah, I'm hoping Yu comes back and is strong. And the Cubs are in a weird predicament right now, though, because you got Montgomery looking strong. I was going to say Morrow, but obviously Morrow looks fantastic as the closer. Yeah. That dude, I love watching that guy pitch because he just comes in going, here's 9,900, boom, right there. I'm not dicking around with you. This is what I got.
My dad, hard. Read Darvish is worried that Cubs fans don't like
Yeah, it. No, that was local press that Darvish was saying that the fans hate me. And it's, you know, I thought about that where I'm like, you know, we like to compare eras in a way. But there is something about today's athlete being so scrutinized that other athletes didn't have to deal with. And obviously there's a lot of Jordan LeBron debate where someone in one of the things, which I thought was like, come on, we're going to that where they said, you know, Jordan never had to deal with social media. I'm like, all right, yeah, fair. But also like...
If anyone is used to media scrutiny, it's a Japanese baseball player.
Right? You'd think so. But I think big contract, he wanted to impress people. He knows the Chicago market. I don't know. I'm going to give him a little bit of leniency, but also, dude, relax. All right. If you're worried the fans don't like you, come back and reel off 5 to 6 good starts in a row and you'll see how quickly they'll love you. Cause they want to love you. They want to root for you. you, you know? So
Cubs fans want to love you, trust me.
I think sometimes they're a little unfair, but Chicago must be a tough place to sign with as a free agent, because a lot of big name free agents that the Cubs have signed over the years have gone off to bad starts.
Hayward, you know who didn't was Zobrist.
Zobrist actually, yeah, he had a really good, he hit the ground running. But nobody, he was kind of going into that year, what was he thought of? The fifth or sixth best hitter? I'm thinking of guys like Moises Alou and Lester and Hayward.
I talked with people about Lester's year in 2015. I thought he was great. He had a 5 WAR and people were like, he fucking blows.
No, he had a great year. You're right, he did. He just had a bad first like 5 to 6 weeks, I think. He just had a bad start. And yeah, after that, he was fantastic.
And then, of course, we are the only team that ever fucking had to be on the receiving end of figuring out that he couldn't throw anywhere.
I'll never forget that. Opening day, 2015 season, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, they all just couldn't stop talking about how he couldn't throw over to first and how what a problem was. And I remember thinking, problem? He was amazing last year. He had a 2.4 ERA, not throwing over to first. That's incredible. So why is it a problem? And then it became such a big thing where I think he even started to buy into it a little bit, where I'm like, dude, who cares?
Yeah, he...
So what if they steal some base on you? Just don't let them score, right?
For a guy who can't do anything but pitch, he might be the best pitcher in the world.
Yeah, I mean, he can't field his position. Oh, he's a great bunter. You got to give him that.
Yeah.
Anyway, though. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, imagine not being able to do anything but throw to home and still being that good.
It is impressive. Yeah, you got to give him some love for that. And he's off to a great start right now. And had another big game today. And but next week, though, you know, I know I've mentioned this a few times before. I think the format of the podcast, listeners, is we're going to give you some history, but we're also going to talk about today a little bit more. And now that we're in June, today's June 2nd or 3rd, I should say, you're listening on the 4th. Now is the time where we could really, I feel, we've gotten 2 months of the season out of the way. And now we could start getting excited about where players are heading and where teams are heading, you know? So I'm looking forward to that. Brido, where are you going to be? Where could they find you? Anything you want to plug?
You know what? You guys are doing a great job. Find me on Twitter at Brido. Find me at Instagram at Mike Bridenstine. Facebook, whatever you want. Shoot me a thing. Just whatever you need. I'm here for you.
Nice. You know where to find me too. Find the podcast. And we're at... shit, we have a new thing. I forget what it's called. I had to change the Twitter handle because it didn't make sense before. I think it's Comedy Base Pod 9 or something like that. It's off my, if you go to at Joe Kilgallen, I have it in my profile, the link there. And then we're on Instagram at Comedians Talking Baseball. I've been way more active on that. I think I post almost every day on that, something fun for the kids. So definitely check us out there. Write us a review on iTunes. It goes a long way. We are now officially on everything, I've been told, by Anchor. So thanks to people at Anchor. We've been doing our podcast through them. The sound quality, people told me that they're happy with, so I'm cool with it. I'm not going to bring it up all the time like I used to. There's just a couple little things that bother me every now and then. So whatever, though. We are in LA. I'm in Chicago. It's not going to be pitch perfect, unlike the movie, which was great. Anyway, yeah, so anyway, tell your friends. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. We're in Spotify? Yeah, I think we're on that.
Hey, my Google Spotify Play. If you don't want to buy it.
Yeah, he'll get a penny a song. Or a penny a track, I should say. Whatever. If that, maybe a fraction. Yeah. All right, I'm Joe Kilgallen. That's Mike Bridenstine. Thank you for listening to Comedians Talking Baseball.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.